We're talking with a gentleman who can predict who would have a successful marriage and who wouldn't on this edition of Frank Relationships.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Yes, as always, those are my babies. Thanks for getting daddy started today. Mwah. Okay, why do I need to know how to date? I mean, that seems like something I'm not talking about me.
Yeah,
I'm just talking about, why does anybody need to know how to date?
Oh, you think it should come naturally?
I think it is just who we are.
Oh.
I mean, we're presenting ourselves when we date, right?
All the time.
So what do we need?
We're presenting ourselves, period.
What do we need a actual lesson for?
Because obviously some of us are a bit deficient in the area.
Well, okay. Would it help to say I'm not talking to you?
I'm always open to learn new things, Frank. That's my job as a consummate generalist to give it all a shot.
So, why do I need to know how to date?
Craig?
Well, I would say it's kind of like learning to know how to live or how to eat and know how to breathe. I mean, basically, when you are going out every day, whether it's with your children, like they were giving you big kisses this morning. They're giving you big kisses because you know how to show them a good time, and you know how to do better in business relationships if you know how to show somebody a good time. And there's a whole secret to that, and I've got four keys that spell it out. But I don't know if you guys knew this, but the actual derivative word for the word date is didino. And in Greek, no. It stands for to give. And so when you ask anybody out, whether it's a girlfriend, a girl asking a girl out just as a good girlfriend, gal pal hanging together, or if it's two guys going to a bar, or if it's a parent taking his child out, or if it's a colleague asking somebody else to join him for lunch, you just ask them to put something in the calendar. It's a date. It's in the calendar. So you're... onus is to show them a good time. And the question is, how do you do that? And how do you ensure that you two or three or four will have a good time? That's what this is about.
What's that Greek term again?
Didino, D-I-D-O-N-A-L. And that actually stands for
who told
to
you
give.
That?
Here we go, Craig. He says, who told you that?
I looked it up.
he's researching
his topic.
I
started to write the book. I did. I started to write the book, because there's a long story behind why I've discovered this little process. But,
at one point,
when I was a bachelor, I probably was one of the greatest Match.com dates in the world, because I did everything that the guys – I did nothing that people recommended I do, and I did everything that I thought from my heart, and it worked out.
Nice.
Okay. What's the story, the long story, and what did you do different than everybody else did?
Well, when I became single, and it was just one of those things where life changes, and I'd been literally traveling 3 million miles over a period of about 6 years, and that will change anybody's life. So when I stopped traveling and came home, I realized after a long marriage, 27 years,
okay,
that we weren't the same people.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was, and this is how it all sets up for my book, The problem was that my mother became terminally ill, and I'm an only child, and this actually really good friend of mine, who is now my ex-wife, we both decided you just don't tell somebody that and put it on their plate amongst everything else they have going on. So for 3 years, we were still quote-unquote married, but we really weren't. We were just kind of holding it together.
Does that mean
and
you
so
were living
let's
together?
Just say when I,
or you?
When my mother passed away... I was so ready to date, I just wanted to go out.
Wow.
And bottom line, I went on Match.com, friend of mine said, you got to do it. You got to do it. Oh, it's a great selection, good people, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, there were some nice people. You do the data sort. You find out who's in your geographic area. Do they smoke? Do they not smoke? Are they into health or fitness? Are they not? You know, are they career people? Do they have young kids? They have no kids? They have old kids? And you kind of do this whole data sort. And it was kind of weird, but I got into it. It was okay. I said, okay, this is great. I got my choice of 10, 15 people. So I just dated every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I never asked, and all my friends, and this was interesting, from age 18 to 60, they basically said, well, here's how you do it.
Mm-hmm. And so how old were you at that time?
Meet them at Starbucks and, you know, have a drink of coffee. And if it looks like it's going somewhere, then keep it going. If it doesn't, well, then you can bag out after 10 minutes. Or have a drink with them and go, oops, I got to go. And I didn't do that because I hadn't been – I'm a Chicago guy, so I'm, you know, hopeless either Cubs or Sox fan. Well, I'm a Cubs fan. So I hadn't seen a Cubs game in 3 years. So if a gal on her profile said, I love the Cubs, I said, you love the Cubs? So do I. Let's go see a Cubs game. She said, well, you haven't met me yet. I said, yeah, but I want to see a Cubs game. Do you? Yeah, let's go. Boom. And it was a date. And you know what? It was a nice time. And I realized that if you do something with another person and it's a mutually agreed upon proposition where they both want to do it, the chances are you're going to have a much, much better time just out of the gate because you're doing something you both want to do. And I've had probably 100 fabulous dates. I became friends with a lot of them, and I realized that it's not necessarily about romance. And then you start looking and peeling away the layers of the onion, and you realize that everything you see in advertising, everything you see in books, the fairy tales, they all lived happily ever after and all this stuff, it's great. But that's not going to build the relationship that you need to form if you ever do, in fact, the romance happens. And the thing I've learned, I don't know about you, Frank, is there any kind of cologne you can put on that make people absolutely fall in love with you on the first date or second? Or is there a certain
word
that you can say?
Let me just say, Craig, he's not wearing it. He's not wearing it. If he owns it, it is in the bathroom.
Ever.
Ever.
There you go. Because he probably owns 5 different brands, but none of them quite worked right, right?
Oh, I mean, my gosh.
And there's no particular new clothes, new look you can wear. I mean, the bottom line is you can't make romance happen, but you can make a great date happen.
Well, I can tell you, we got a news flash for you. The new cologne is cash.
A Porsche.
It doesn't hurt, I will say. But you know what? I say out of my 100 dates, a couple of them were a walk in the park. One of them was frisbee golf. You know, it's really interesting that the bottom line is how you look at a date. And now the question is, I also, by the way, happened to play in a band. And it was a wedding band, and we did a lot of different anniversary parties. And I probably did, 10 silver anniversary parties and probably about 5 or 10 golden anniversary. And I always asked every one of them, I said, what was your secret? You know, why are you guys still together? And, well, there were a couple good answers, one of them being, of course, he makes me laugh, but I trust. Trust is a big one. But more than that, the ones that had very successful marriages say, we just never stopped dating.
Mm, nice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is after 25 and 50 years.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And the other thing that was interesting is there were a couple, of course. One guy was this guy who was, you know, like in World War II, he's really a good old salt. But I thought it was kind of comical because he's your true, quote-unquote, greatest generation. He just looked at me and goes, you just gut it out.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So, you know, maybe there's a few that had that mentality back then. But interesting as we've evolved and you look at how the millennials are completely different than their parents or their parents' parents. The millennials are actually, they always do their homework. You can't talk to a millennial without having them look it up, do a fact check, do the background. And their whole common term, if there's one term to coin for millennials today, it's disruption. You know, for example, Uber, it's disrupted the whole car transportation system, and they don't own one car. Mm-hmm. You look at some places like Airbnb, they book more hotel rooms than any hotel in the world, and they don't own a hotel. So disruption is a big thing with millennials, and they've been disrupting marriage. At the end of the day, the actual marriage rate is going down, but the divorce rate is absolutely going down because they're doing things a little differently, and most of them are good.
Are they even getting married?
Oh, yeah, but they're typically waiting until it's time to raise a family. They're not marrying for the sake of marriage. It's got the lowest marriage rate in six decades, but they are, when they go down the aisle, their marriages are lasting and working a lot longer, and the divorce rate's gone down.
So define the millennials for us. Who are these people?
Well, the millennial, I believe, goes up through about age 30 or 31 at this point, and it goes from anybody who's entering the workforce.
Yeah, I was married at 26, though. So
I was married at 23. Yeah,
so, you know, yeah, they're kids, but so
they,
were
right,
we.
Yeah. Right. Who are we to say?
Oh, they are kids. I think I got married at 27, and I felt old at the time for getting married. And
wow,
you know, the typical was you would go out of, right out of college or 1 year out of college, you get married. And
my parents were married at 18.
Oh sure,
yeah.
Oh sure. And it will vary. Again, I live in the downtown city, Chicago, and actually I'm living in the West Loop, and that is Millennialville. I mean, you are in the heart of the restaurant, you know, hot restaurants.
Doesn't that make you
all
hip?
The corporations are here. Oh, yeah, I've reached the average age here by at least 10 years. But, you know, I find that what's interesting also in the reason that the marriage rate is going down, but the marriages are lasting longer, is a change in women. The smart women today realize that chivalry should never die.
And
the
say
funny
that again.
Thing about all this technology is,
well, you know
if a guy that they're with does not do his homework, especially this day of instant information and whatnot, if a person's not perceptive enough to have something pre-planned and show that woman a good date, if you will, she's very skeptical of going out with that guy long-term because it shows a lack of commitment to any kind of relationship, whether it's romantic or not.
Now that we have your attention, let me formally introduce him. Today's guest has developed a new methodology for two people to go out together. It's one that separates dating from romance, where dating becomes simpler, more meaningful, and enjoyable. And most of all, more successful. I gotta say, my interest is a little piqued.
So, okay.
If you, like me, want to know what it means to date for life, and what the four keys to dating for life are, and how to become the person, the kind of person that you're looking for is looking for.
I like that.
Then stay tuned as your Frank Relationship team talks with author, musician, and entrepreneur, Craig Wilson. Welcome to the show, Craig.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much, Frank.
Now, given everything you've said, if you have one of the reasons people don't jump fully into a date, meaning what they want to do, go to a Cubs game. Although, who goes to a Cubs game?
Stop it. Stop it. I apologize, Craig.
I walked into that one.
Yes, he's a cut up.
But one of the reasons people don't do that is because they're interested in preserving their safety, or they want to be safe. They want to meet at Starbucks to look somebody in the eye to make sure they're not, you know, looking like Nancy or, you know, I mean, that kind of thing. So how do you
don't want to meet me at Starbucks, buddy.
You don't, believe me, you don't want to meet Nancy at Starbucks. She's way too beautiful for that. Nancy is really a class act.
Oh, goodness. Thank
now,
you, Frank.
I got to go back to teasing her.
Here we go.
But anyway, how do you deal with that security issue? Or do you admit that there's a security issue? What do you have there?
Well, wait a minute. Craig, before you answer that, I got to tell you this. And I'm telling you, especially because you are in Chicago,
Yeah.
So I have a great friend, a wonderful friend who lives in Chicago, and he used to use Match, which is now like, God, there's so many other ones now that Match is kind of like the dinosaur, right? So, so the bottom line is he goes out with this woman and, you know, they do the Match thing. Here's the deal. They do the Match thing. They agree to meet. And he's going to take her out because he's not a guy to meet you in the coffee shop either, right?
Uh-huh.
So he meets the woman, and instantly he looks at her and he says, "You lied to me."
Your picture ain't you.
Her picture was, he said, Nancy.
40 years old.
She was at least 50 pounds heavier than the woman in the picture. So I can see now, you know, they went out, they had a nice time, no harm, no foul. However, I can see that that might be some of what has somebody say, I'll meet you at Starbucks, basically size up the terrain, make sure it is what it says it is, and we head forward.
Well, you know, it happened to me one time too, but it can't dissuade you. I basically was supposed to meet at a Italian restaurant, and we're going to meet at the bar and then have dinner.
Okay.
And I'm at the bar for at least a half an hour looking around. Where could she be? Where could she be? She was standing next to me for about 20 minutes.
What?
There was no way. I didn't recognize her at all. And so.
And she didn't say anything to you?
She was telling you that you didn't look the same either.
It was strange because I said, "Oh gosh, you must have changed your hair," you know. And so we basically talked for a while and had a dinner. And I waited. I wasn't like your friend where you go, "You lied to me."
Right.
But I mean, I had to bring it up. I did.
Right.
So you know, we're having dinner. We're getting near the dessert, and because you have to eat anyway. So I decided. And the mentality here is, look, I'm already here. I'm going to make a good night of it. So we're chatting about whatever. And I can go into that in a bit because the first key to dating for life is obviously pursue agreed upon interests. So we were both going to go. We have Italian because she liked it Italian and I liked Italian. So at least I was going to have a good Italian dinner. And the second key, I think, is really key to the people that are truly dating for relationships. And by the way, dating for life is not dating for wife.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be always the worst thing in the world.
To look for a life partner.
Is this the one? Because the minute you open that door, the girl opens the door, and Mr. Wonderful is going to come walking through, it isn't going to be. Mm. And because you've set such a high platform and the expectations are too high. So number two key is set no expectations. Zero. Just say, I just hope, you know, I have high hopes but low expectations. So I didn't know what I was going to see, but I certainly wasn't looking for the one. And the third key is that you're there. So the whole key to life is, you know, interchange, learn and grow. So bottom line is you're going to learn more by talking to people, finding what they're about. And before you know it, you will have, you know, covered a lot of time over your date. And then the fourth key is continually express gratitude. If nothing else, you had a nice Italian dinner. But I'd have to say on this one gal, toward the end of the dinner, okay, and I was engaging, and I'll leave the story with a little tail end tag, but bottom line, I said, I had to ask the question, Frank. So I said, I just got to know, why did you put such a profile picture on? Because that's got to be like 20 years ago. And I didn't say that she was also about 50 pounds too heavy, but she was. And
it's not too heavy. It's heavier. You're not being nice, Craig.
Well, you know what? That was when the date was over. Basically, I get a lot of free meals this way. And I just looked at her and I go, really? I said,
did
you know, that's not going to get you anywhere.
Oh,
and,
I like it. She
so
has
I said,
got
check,
a.
Please.
She but, got but, game.
She actually
but
said that
tell you
to
that
you?
Because we exchanged and because I learned a little bit more about her. I actually learned about a subject matter in a particular business endeavor that I wasn't aware of, and I learned a few other things. So, you know, you never want to burn a relationship, and that's more important than anything else because I actually dated a gal that geographically was desirable, face great, everything was nice, except – there was no real attraction. But, you know, we'd gone out a few times. And so to do the right thing, and that's all about doing the right thing, I did not want to just dump her, send her an email, not show up, not text her. So I basically called her on the middle of the week as it's Wednesday night. And I said, look, you know, I've been thinking about it. We have good time together. I don't know that this is going to be anything more than a friendship. Mm-hmm. But I already invited you out for Saturday night. And we got dinner and a show. Let's do it. But, you know, I want to do it more as friends, if that's okay with you. Because I don't want to drop you, leave you high and dry the first, you know, with nothing going on this weekend. So I already got the tickets. Let's do it. What do you think? She said, sure, no problem, if that's what you want. So we went out and had a nice time. And at the end of the night, she said, so this is it? I said, well, no, we're still friends, right? She goes, so you don't want to kiss me goodnight? And I was like, why don't I'll give you a hug. How's that? That's it. I gave her a hug.
That's wow. Well,
that's... 2 weeks later.
Wait a minute.
She's at a networking event, and she runs into a gal who's very creative, okay, written a lot of books. Her name's Melissa Giovanoli. And she's, you know, Melissa happened to be telling her, hey, I'm dating this banker. He's kind of boring. There's nothing really in it for me. He's not creative. I'm a creative. And the gal goes, I got the perfect guy for you. Mm. She said, well, how do you know him? Well, he dumped me.
And you're married
to
her now.
And he said, well, yeah, but he elegantly dumped me, and he's a really nice guy. And the bottom line is we weren't a good fit anyway. I couldn't stand all that creative crap he wanted to go to. So she said, you guys ought to get along really well. So a gal that I dumped elegantly fixed me up with the love of my life.
Did she get the banker?
I'll just say that I think that after dating me, she ended up with a guy that had lots of money. Mm. But I think that was her goal all along. But you know, more power to her, like, whatever she wanted. Okay. I don't know that that would buy her any happiness, though.
I hear you.
Welcome to Frank Relationships. We're the show specifically tailored for my middle-aged brethren and those that love them. And we promise every listener, especially our brothers, that you'll walk away from each week's show with new information, a new perspective, or a new disposition that'll help you be a better parent and partner. I'm Frank Love, and you can find me, my blog, and my various social media incarnations at franklove.com. You can also find me on ABC's Good Morning Washington most Friday mornings during the 9 o'clock hour. If you're listening to the show on Blog Talk Radio, please follow us. And then via iTunes, please subscribe so that you can effortlessly get each week's show. Also, if you're enjoying the show, and of course you are, please share it with your family and friends on your favorite social media platform. We're always looking for new social media friends, so please help us help our communities by spreading the word about the show. Greetings to my super-duper co-host, Nancy Goldring.
Hi, Frank.
The consummate generalist. You've already introduced yourself earlier, gave your tagline and all that good stuff. You gave it away.
You know, listen, we're playing a new game.
Okay, all right.
I'm having fun. That's my job here.
Okay. We're also joined by today's visiting co-host,
yes.
Queen Tahira. Greetings, Queen Tahira.
Greetings, greetings. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here, and I've learned a lot already.
Uh-oh. See that? You having fun yet?
Well, jump in whenever you're ready.
Yes,
please. Who are you, and what do you do when you aren't guest co-hosting on this show? See, I'm giving away a little bit of what you do already.
Oh.
Yes. Again, thank you for having me. Hello, Nancy, and hello to your guest, Craig. I'm a host of a broadcast called Sign of the Times. We are on a network on Blog Talk Radio called New Power Radio Network. We air Tuesday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're excited to be a part of your network and excited to have this new friendship with you and Nancy and the radio network that you represent. So thank you for having me, and I'm glad to be here.
Sure.
Thank you.
Really.
Now, quick question for you, just a little housekeeping. I just want to get this out of the way.
Okay.
Queen Tahira, why do you think I'm better looking than Nancy?
Because she's only seen you.
You know, Nancy, you took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly the reason why.
Thank you, honey.
All right, I don't like where this is going.
So he redirects. That's his thing. He redirects. Yeah, okay. His way or the highway.
Jeff, we got a caller that we need to drop. As is the case this week with Queen Tahira, there's a visiting guest co-host chair available each week here in the studio. So if you're in the Washington, D.C. area or traveling to the D.C. area wanting to join us in the studio on a given Thursday morning, email me at frank@franklove.com and let me know. Before we go any further into the interview with Craig, I need to check in to see what's new in the world of relationships. So the floor is open for Craig and Queen Tahira, and Nancy, you can just listen.
Thank you.
That you're gonna listen to that? You're gonna do that?
Am I gonna tolerate right. that? Of course. No,
right. All right. Psychologists say that there are all kinds of reasons for what makes a happy marriage. But what does the brain say? So scientists say lasting relationships come down to three basic traits. Empathy for the other person, controlling your own stress and emotions, and positive illusions, meaning the simple ability to overlook what you don't like about your partner and focus on what you do. I gotta attest, that is extremely powerful.
Is it?
Just to say whatever. Yeah. About what your partner is doing that you don't like.
Right.
And to be able to say, you know, but this is what I do like. Like, I love this about you.
Okay.
I don't like that, but I love this. Let's deal with
Let's
what
work
I love.
It out.
Let's,
oh,
you know.
Okay. Okay. What say you, Queen?
Well, it's always best to be honest.
What's this have to do with honesty? This don't have nothing to do with honesty. This is illusions.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's best sometimes to focus on the things that you do have in common, and the things that you don't have in common, you know, have a less weight factor in the relationship or in the date even.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like Craig said, you find out what you like and you do it, and you proceed forward or you don't. I'm out of the dating field for about at least the past 10 years. I've been single. So I'm excited to learn something today. Maybe I haven't been as open as I thought I was to dating. That's why it's been so long. So I don't know. It's a tricky, tricky world, especially with social media. And it's so easy to meet new people, but getting to know someone is totally different. So
did I hear you say you're single, but you're not in the dating world?
Well, not as of, intentionally, because I had children to raise and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they became my priority. Mm-hmm. And my personal life kind of took a back seat. So
Boo.
I'm ready to resume the driving position.
Well, we have you on with the perfect guest. Craig talks about how there are, would you say, 53 million single women? And you also mentioned that there's a good percentage of people that are single, but they take themselves out of the dating loop completely.
Mm-hmm.
Craig?
Well, I think, you know, I do have a question for you, Queen, because you've got kids, I take it. You focused your time on spending with the kids. And there's every category from millennials right on through seniors to divorcees to married without kids or with kids. One of the tougher categories you could say is being married, being single with and having children. But Queen, did you ever go out on dates with your kids?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Really?
All the time.
See,
and I think that having that extra time.
I would think that, did they have a good time?
Yeah.
Who has a good time going out with their
mother? Almost on a daily basis, especially in the summertime, we're always engaged with one another. And, you know, not that the opportunity didn't arise itself, because I am fairly attractive like Nancy.
There you go.
But,
She is
but,
queen.
You know, it just was secondary. You know, it took second position.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, who told you you're fairly attractive, queen? How do you get to the point where you say, I'm attractive? I mean,
first
I'm
of all,
there.
Let me just say, I understand that you are actually being modest. She said fairly attractive. So we can, based on that alone, pretty much guarantee that when we see her, we'll be like, oh.
She's fine.
Deep. Right.
Okay. So Queen, do you? How old are your children?
Well, my oldest is 30.
Nice.
And my youngest are twins, and they'll be 24, the 4th of July.
Ah, so
wow.
You can actually hang out with your kids. Hmm. And did you, when you said you've been single for 10 years, so,
mm-hmm.
Well, I guess you were with your co-parent up until they were able to basically function on their own. Is that about right?
About right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm just one of those parents that, you know, wasn't willing to, I guess, cut the strings when they turned 18.
Mm-hmm.
So I still wanted to be available. And to be honest, I really wasn't finished being me as of yet. So, you know, I have a lot more confidence in myself than I thought I did. But, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm waiting for, I guess, a twinkle in my eye to occur when I meet someone. But I'm open and available to it, especially at this stage in the game. Definitely I'm not off the market. I just want to make that clear.
Mm-hmm. You hear that, guys?
Why don't you give out your hashtag in your blog, then, and so people can get a hold of you after the show.
Seriously, do that.
Yes, queen.
You know, Queen, I was just thinking about it. And there's like 13, 14 million single parents.
Craig?
And the bottom line is,
Craig,
you know,
you didn't let her give it out. I mean, you know,
are you really serious?
Yeah,
okay,
give out your website.
It.
I mean, let people know how to find your show or something. Because the right person's going, you know, if you give out your website and they're interested, they're going to find you. So it could be your website will take you to your Twitter, and they are going to catch you on your Twitter thing and, you know, that sort of thing. So please tell us how to find you.
You can find me on Facebook as Queen Tahira, and also on Blog Talk Radio, on New Power Radio Network, like I said, Tuesday through Friday. So, look me up on Facebook as Queen Tahira. Send me a friend request, and we can get to know each other.
And how is Tahira spelled?
Tahiyrah.
And of course, we're not just asking folks who want to date you to check you out. Also,
yes,
check
are.
Her out.
Don't
check out
call
her show.
If you're not serious.
No, check out her show.
Oh, yeah, the show too. Well, they're going to check out the show because they're checking her out. You know, that's part of the research.
But check out the show even if you're not interested in dating her.
That's right. I love the support. We love the energy. And, you know, we have a great group that work with New Power Radio Network across the country. So definitely please look us up and please be a part of the conversation because we're about healing and communicating in our community. And we know that that is what is necessary for us to be a better society, be a better group, and to make our children as safe and secure as possible. So yeah, look us up.
Nice.
And new is spelled?
N-U.
Thank you.
New Power Radio Network.
Oh,
N-U
cool.
Power Radio Network.
Okay. All right. And okay, what do you think about what I said around safety? I don't know if you've been on a date in the last 10 years, but if you were to go on a date, would you
meet
want to meet
Starbucks?
The guy at Starbucks? Right.
Please.
I definitely would meet in a public place,
mm-hmm.
Initially.
What
not necessarily for safety reasons, but just to, you know, be able to have that one-on-one interaction. I figure at a baseball game, that might be a good second date,
mm-hmm.
but the distractions around, you know, that type of atmosphere might be a little much to initially be trying to get to know someone, but hey,
you're confusing baseball with something else. It's a very slow-moving game.
What if he said, "Come to my office. I'm really busy right now, But I would love to just, I'd love to just have you around. Come over to my office and help me stuff these envelopes. No, sir. would you
next.
Do that?
No, that was not
Craig.
I'd have to ask. Is that basically mutually agreed upon interest? Because that's the whole first key to a date.
Oh.
If that person says, "God,
look at
that's
Craig
the thing I love most
right
in life, stuffing envelopes," I'm in. Well, then maybe.
Yeah.
But other than that, I would say no.
Okay. I like what you said though about the guy taking the time to set up an interesting date experience.
I like it.
Okay, you know, but here's the deal, though, Craig. Is it on the guy?
Good question. And I think one of the reasons the millennials are more successful in when they form relationships, and they're not in any hurry to do it. They're more focused on career, paying off their college debt, whatever. But the bottom
they're
line, and millennial parents, the man does contribute almost as much to the relationship in terms of raising kids, to doing chores as the woman. So they're much more egalitarian, which is a good thing. But I think that it still boils down more than not, and there's always exceptions to the rule, but where the guy asks the girl out, or they, and if you've seen the herd mentality, they all hang out, which is good and bad. I deal with that in my book a little bit, but it's okay to hang as a group. And then when you sense a little bit of chemistry, a couple people splinter off, that can work. And but then there's peer pressure if it's not the dynamic it was before where we're all a group. But normally the guy's job is still to ask the girl out. And the thing that's really interesting with millennials is they do more than the last three generations when they do plan to finally ask somebody to marry them. They do everything from a flash mob where they do a whole dance routine to ask the girl out, or they do thing, you know.
That.
I mean, it's unbelievable what they do when they finally commit.
It's a wonder you got
that's
a yes.
Kind of romantic, frankly.
Nice.
I disagree with everybody.
Oh,
in some sense. So if I was busy and wanted to get to know a woman, I would love for her to jump into my world even if it's a first date. Come on by the office. I would love to have you around. I'd love to get to know you. I just don't really have any dating time right now. But I'm working on a proposal. I'm working on a letter to so-and-so. I'm working and would love to have your input. Why don't you stop by and help me out? That's a way to get to know each other. Or I'm going to the gym in the morning. Why don't you join me at the gym? Or let me just stop by and we can go for a walk. So it really is an opportunity for us to get to know each other and be around each other. It doesn't have to be an opportunity for me to pander to you.
But Frank, that was well put, and you can't argue with the logic. The key word to your whole thing was "or," because I think as long as you can find, and I first dates, great to just go for a walk, absolutely great, or just enjoy the day and take a sit on a river and have a lunch break. And in fact, it's just lunch does a great job where people are too busy and they meet for a lunch, and it's a good way to connect. And it isn't technically a date, mm-hmm. but it's all about the paradigm date. And what you're trying to do is you're shifting that, Frank, which is good. Saying, let's just get together. What would you like to do to get together? And the key here is you're still initiating it because you've asked this person out. And so technically you're saying, where can we meet just to have a casual get together? There is nothing wrong with that because this is all about dating. And frankly, it's not about romance. It's about dating.
That's a critical distinction. I just want you to know. This whole concept of developing a relationship versus a romance, I have to tell you that I personally have collapsed the two terms as it relates to men and women.
Bring it.
For my entire life.
Bring it.
So that is a totally foreign concept to me. If a guy wants to take me on a date, my presupposition is that there is a romance in the offing. Whether it gets off the ground or not is to be determined. However, the place I'm standing is he's up to something, not necessarily negative, bad, like romance is like some kind of trick bag, which it often tends to be. However,
is that a nice way of saying he's trying to get the...
No, Frank, it is not a nice way of saying it. It is saying it. Okay. See, I'm learning to catch up to speed with the way he rolls here. So the bottom line is this notion of developing relationship versus romance. And you did say, I think somewhere I saw when I was doing my research, that romance can start in an instant, but connection is built over time. So
that is well put, and you're absolutely right. The problem is dating in today's society can be a stigma. Oh God, I haven't gone on a date in years. Well, you have. You just haven't looked at it from that perspective. And to Queen, to your point, with all the single parents, if a guy is just walking down a pathway and there's a woman who's beautiful in her face because of her expression, and she's either having fun with her child, pushing a littler kid on a swing, or just out in the field playing with a kid and a dog, and that woman is in pure joy, who's more attractive, that woman or a woman that's going, sit down, John, or, you know, get over here, right? I mean, it's so, how do you project yourself? And so the woman that looks at being with her children as an act of joy, and it's a love, right? That person has a much more beautiful expression. They're going to be more attractive to people in terms of who want to be her friend, who want to get to know her. And it could evolve into a relationship as well. So if you get rid of the stigma of the word date and say, I'm just getting together some people, we're going to have a good time.
Hmm. Okay.
What say you, Queen? Were you out with your kids yelling at them because they...
threatening their lives.
Right. They messing up in school, mad at the dinner table when you out at the restaurant.
Showing off at Walmart.
It's Tarjay.
Oh,
see,
sorry.
She goes to Target.
I don't go to Walmart.
See, that's what I mean.
I can slip it in there.
Of course, you're the high class. See, she's high class too. That's why. See, she's trying to. That's dirty, Nancy. That's not right. You can't pigeonhole her into Walmart.
I'm not trying to pigeon her into Walmart. I'm trying to get Walmart as a sponsor.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay,
of
Queen.
Of course, focusing on their shadow side is not going to get it, but go ahead, Queen.
Yeah, I mean, to this day, I still have more male friends than I do female friends, and you're right, that energy is attractive. Even if, in a social situation, that energy definitely is attractive, and men have a tendency to gravitate towards, happier women. I definitely agree with that, so... But it never was an issue. It was me holding the, not the unwillingness from my end, more so than the availability of men, to me. So, it was great raising my children. It was great even getting together with other parents, male and female, and spending time with their children as well. So, dating doesn't necessarily, like you said, equal to romance. It's about, finding out who we are as people and getting to know one another. So, I enjoyed it. I have no regrets or feel like it was anything that could have been better invested in other than my children. So, it was cool.
Nice.
I can effectively co-sign it, what you guys are saying about a smiling woman, be it an absolutely beautiful thing.
Mm, nice. It's
particularly versus one with a scowl on her face.
Mm.
Ugh. You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we're joined by musician and entrepreneur Craig Wilson. Craig is the author of Dating for Life. Craig, would you please tell us what you're up to and how we can find you?
Well, thanks, Frank. I have a website that's datingforlife.com. As an author, I'm also craigswilson.com. And, I'm a kind of a serial creative. So I'm
Say that again.
A serial creator.
Oh, kind of a serial creator. See, I thought you were running words together. I can't.
Bottom line is that I went away from the Dating for Life for a while because, just a small sidebar, I have a recruiting business, and so I come by this honestly, having played 1,000 weddings and seen people get married, and then having a recruiting business where we've probably matched thousands of candidates up with new prospective hirers. I'm almost like I'm doing dating coaching, if you will, inadvertently, my entire career. So I have a new book coming out that's all about the actually about a brother raising his two twin sisters who are 6 years old in the slums of Rio, just as they're starting to clear it out for the Olympics. And it's called Rio Street Kid Stargazer. That's coming out in a week or two. But I am going to relaunch a Dating for Life book next year, kind of like Dating for Life 2, and it's all about what's happened since the last book. And it's fun, but at the end of the day, enjoy your date with life, because every day is a gift. And if you look at it as a date and you plan anything out in it, and I know life can control you, but you can still do your best to control it by planning a very good day with date with life. I think the methodology is rock solid for anyone any age. And so I'm having fun with it, and I've had – my joy with the book is when I get people dropping me notes from around the world saying, thanks so much, I read your book, it was a great tip, or it helped me find someone that's a long-term partner, or I've just, you know, been having a bit more fun with dates. Simple as that.
You have noted that Valentine's Day is unimportant. Why is that?
Well, actually, if you look at the history of Valentine's Day, it was kind of a sad event. You know, Valentino, he was killed by Caesar for encouraging a relationship. But then again, it's kind of a greeting card holiday. So it's, again, a paradigm. The pressures put on someone for Valentine's Day.
Not
that's
someone,
actually
the guy.
Non-dating season. People do not want to date. They don't want to go out with anybody right around the holidays, right on through Valentine's and right after Valentine's. It's when open dating season usually begins in people's mindsets, because, well, there's no pressure on me to either be tight with somebody just before Valentine's when it's only 3 or 4 weeks before. I'm not going to go out till after Valentine's. I mean, it's just how people look at things. So it's really not important. And frankly, if you look at every date with someone as a potential Valentine's Day, then you're then you are honoring what Dating for Life is. The guy that shows up for any date well-prepared and says, let's have some fun tonight. I've looked into your profile, and by the way, the information's so out there. Queen, you have a great website, by the way, for your Facebook, and I like what you've done. So bottom line, if you have any chance of doing homework and you get to know that person a little bit more before you even meet them, my word, I mean, think about how you can develop a relationship having those points of connectivity that in the old days you just were fumbling around because you didn't have social media. Today, you should know a lot about somebody before you even meet them. And so you plan a little bit ahead, do a little bit of homework, find out what they like. You're going to have a good time. That's all that matters.
But what if the good time is learning about the person instead of while fumbling and bumbling and not having done the homework?
Good question. But you're just learning enough about points of connectivity. Like, you're asking good questions, Frank. That's when you learn about somebody a little bit more, their likes, their dislikes, things that they've done in their career, that just prompts more questions, right? It's like you just asked. So the more you have points of connectivity, the more when you're talking to somebody, and I don't care who it is, again, you can make a great date happen. You can't make romance happen. So the key is you're able to talk for a lot longer period of time. And I'm a glib kind of guy, and so are you, Frank. I mean, you're very glib. But bottom line, there's
Thank
a lot
you.
Of guys that are nervous.
Wait a minute. You bottom know, line is what, Craig?
Hey, Frank Love, how can you not be, you know, who you are. You're on the radio. But there's a lot of guys that would want to crawl in a hole if they're doing what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. But the more research they do and the more they know about someone, the more they have things to talk about so they're not fumbling around. Fumbling makes you nervous.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's... You know, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking about my own profiles and how profile averse I am.
Profile
and
of
meaning
like
on social media. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And as I thought about it in the context of dating, I felt like, okay, I could put some stuff out there that I historically like. Now, what I
like what?
Like what? I like the movies. I like yoga. I like food, though I don't eat much of it. Mm-hmm. I like traveling. I like books. I love books. Mm-hmm. I like artsy films. I like foreign things.
Okay, you made your
point. So. But here was my dilemma. Even as I think you gotta get your profile together. So I'm thinking, yeah, but if you approach me from what
on your profile? On my profile, think they're weird.
No. Not even that. I'm gonna think you're weird. I'm gonna kind. It's gonna get kind of flat for me. Mm-hmm. So
there's
one
no
of the,
discovery.
Yeah. So one of the things that because it's almost like right after I finish the profile, it's like so yesterday. I'm like on to what's next.
That's
so
real.
Yeah.
She's the consummate generalist. She is learning something
new. All the time.
Yeah, you talk to her about artsy films when she hadn't seen one in 3 years since she did her profile. She's going to look at you like
catch up.
You're late. Yeah, yeah.
I'm off the movies. I'm on to time now. So, but here's the deal. It's like, you know, when Frank said, and I thought, boy, this is such a dicey situation. When he said, oh, meet me at the office, I'm working on this proposal, maybe you can help me out. And I'm sitting here like, geez, Louise, I could see myself saying, okay.
Yeah,
right?
I could see you saying that.
I could see myself saying, okay.
Go and say, Frank, you. That's right.
You had it. Yeah, you nailed it. Yeah. Now, here's where I get off, though. It has to segue into something that is fun. Now, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean I didn't have fun with you, mm-hmm. but
that
at
can't
some
be every
point,
time y'all
it can't
connect.
Be every time we connect that we're working, that we're at the gym. I need to have some magic. Now, that's the one thing I can put on my profile that is consistent. I need some magic, guys. So so I kind of like getting together. The guy fumbles because I need to see him fumble. That's real. Mm-hmm. Fumbling is real. So I don't want to give you all this information to give me who I already am, because I'm looking to, as you say, learn and grow. So I don't need more of what I already got.
Preach.
I need something new.
You are just
that's a good point, but I would say that you women are smarter than men. I mean, sorry, it's just true. I mean,
speak for yourself.
Guys are like the dog in the movie Up. Squirrel? You know, I mean, they're just very linear. And women are a lot more layered.
Okay.
And so you can guide a guy to hints or whatever. The problem, a woman who agrees to that, and let's say I said to you, hey, queen, you want to go out? And you say, okay. And so what are we going to do tonight? Well, you know, I got tickets to this mud wrestling event. It's supposed to be great. Now you're going, okay, well, what are you doing to setting up for a bad evening? And the whole time before, you're going to be talking to your girlfriend's going, this guy just asked me to a mud wrestling event. I mean, what the heck is that, right? So the bottom line is a woman has the choice and has the ability to say, what do you like to do? What's up? You know, what's fun for you? And fundamentally, if a guy says, oh, well, this is what I like to do. I like to hang in bars. And by the way, I'm not saying any of this is good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I, based on your profile, what you said was important. If a guy says, I like to go cliff diving. I like to watch roosters in a cockfight or what, and blah, 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 blah. And he throws five things out there and you're cringing on every one of them. It's probably not going to be a good relationship, no matter what it is, friendship, whatnot, because you're not going to have a good time on anything he throws out. If he throws out 2 out of 5, you might have, you know, 20 or 40% chance of having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
If he throws out 5, 6, 8 things and you're like, wow, that'd be fun. Then you paired up enough things that you're going to have a pretty good time going out. The guy that asks a girl out because he's strictly driven by her looks, and a brain, by the interesting thing is brains, your serotonin is emitted in half a second. You see somebody and you go, wow, she's good looking, I want to go out with her. You realize that it takes sometimes up to a year for the heart to confirm love. Brain is an impulse. Mm-hmm. It's true. It's absolutely medically proven. Serotonin is emitted and you feel a certain whoa. But the reality is that it takes a year for a heart to confirm love. That's why people should wait and take their time and learn one another. But just because someone wants to go out with somebody, that's not enough reason. You need to ask questions like, what do you like to do? And okay. If a woman, a smart woman, can find out 2, 3, 4 things from a guy that would be fun to do, you've got enough on a bed basis alone to go forward. And then you can fumble all you want.
Got it.
Nancy.
Yes.
We've got Miko's money management tip for the week.
Oh, nice. I want to hear it.
Here we go.
Are you feeling financially defeated? Wishing someone will rescue you from your financial woes? Or hoping to win the lottery? For most of us, these events may never happen. So instead of waiting, get active and rescue yourself. Here are 6 ways to be your own financial superhero or shero. 1. Be financially honest. Tell yourself and those that rely on you the truth about your situation. 2. Forgive yourself and others for financial missteps. If you make a mistake, examine what happened, forgive yourself, and move forward. 3. Make a budget and set clear financial goals. Having a plan will give you confidence and help you prioritize your financial needs. 4. Commit to delay gratification. It will help you build financial stamina. 5. Be consistent. Review your goals and budget often to stay on track. And finally, 6. Do not give up. Your biggest enemy is you. If you want to doubt yourself, doubt that you will fail, because success is your only option. And if your superhero needs a sidekick, I'm happy to help. Call Miko's Money Matters at 202-695-2404. And remember, it's never too late to rescue your financial future.
Thanks, Miko. This is Frank Relationships. We're the show specifically tailored for my middle-aged brethren and those that love them. And we promise every listener, especially our brothers, that you'll walk away from each week's show with new information, a new perspective, or a new disposition that'll help you better parent and partner. You can find this in our archive show, there are well over 100, at franklove.com on Blog Talk, iTunes, and Stitcher. You say it's not about finding your soulmate, Craig. It's about having a good time. You can't plan love, but you can plan fun things to do. It makes sense, and yet that point of view has garnered some criticism, especially from the ladies. But it doesn't sound like from the ladies here. So what kind of criticism have you been getting?
Honestly, I haven't had too much. The only skepticism I think that I've had is, hey, I don't have a lot of money. Well, you don't need a lot of money to have a good time. Mm-hmm. You can find a lot of just natural activities to have a good time. If nothing else, to connect. And you know, if it's just a simple get together in a park, like you said, or even meeting in an office, there's nothing wrong with that if the two people basically want to do it. But skepticism is more the word, I think, than criticism.
Gotcha.
Hmm.
You say don't alter what got you to the altar. What's that
Correct.
All about?
Well, if you know, like I said, you can plan life, but usually life plans you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have found a good formula to going out with somebody and chivalry should never die, then the key is don't forget that once you get married. Don't alter what got you to the altar. Never stop dating. And I'm talking to you about people with their golden anniversary saying, we just never stop dating. he makes me laugh, okay? We have fun together. We enjoy one another. I have a little tip for people that have been married for a while, and I do this every night with Melissa. Seriously, it's mm-hmm. been, say, 9 years now, a wonderful time. And when our heads hit the pillow, I whisper in her ear, I said, I had a wonderful date tonight.
Wow.
And think about it. If you're on your best behavior and you're dropping your date off on the first date, it was a good date, and you're saying goodnight, and you're at the front door or whatever, right? And you say, thanks so much. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you next week. What happened to that 30 years later? Like, good night. Or they don't even say good night. I'll see you in the morning. Or they don't even,
they just happened? Roll over.
Right? But why would that ever have to change? Right, I think you made a point earlier, Frank, about the positive illusion.
Mm-hmm.
As
mm-hmm.
long as you still think you're going out with the love of your life, or you're on this magical date, you are.
One of the things that I enjoy doing with my wife is, this sounds crazy, is just straightening up our room. And because it gets to be, we got five children, and a lot of the stuff, the clothes that have just been washed, end up dumped in our room, particularly when she is what we call, I'm really telling her business right now. She's going to laugh at it, but it's cool. She's got this thing that she calls Josieing. Now, her grandmother's name is Josie, and okay. she used to live with her grandmother. And when her grandmother had company coming by, she'd basically slide everything
that was out of place
into the closet.
Oh, God.
Or, hide it all.
Got it.
So she calls it Josieing. Well, my wife Josies to our room.
Oh.
Everything that needs to be sorted or, put in a place, it gets Josied in our room. Now, all of that to say, we periodically, like last night, we go on room dates, like bedroom dates, where we'll put in her favorite thing in the world, romantic comedies. And I just, mind you, I pick up a romantic comedy. If I'm at the dollar store or something like that, if I see a romantic comedy somewhere, I'll pick it up for a couple bucks and just throw it on the DVD player, because that's one of the things she enjoys doing. So
lovely. Okay.
Pop in a romantic comedy and fold clothes. That's a date for us. We call it a room date.
Okay.
Yeah.
That works.
You got it. You absolutely got it. A little popcorn and a Netflix, and you are there.
Yeah.
It's a date. And at the end of the night, why don't you whisper in her ear, you know what? That was a great date. Thanks again.
I'm not going to do that just because you said it.
Craig.
And she's listening to this interview. What do you say, Queen?
I definitely agree. It's all about the energy. It's all about finding something that, is going to be engaging for both of you. And if that works, I say keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And one thing I will say about dating is that it's very important to be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you're willing to not be who you are, or you don't want the other person to be who they are, but sometimes you might discover something new about yourself by challenging yourself a little bit to come outside of the box. So, there's nothing wrong with having some flexibility as you are on this dating path.
Nice. Now, I want to play with a few concepts, and we're wrapping up. I'm going to let you go, Craig. But the chivalry, I have an issue with just the general concept of chivalry, because what I found in myself over years is that I got much more, if you want to use the word chivalrous, but I wouldn't use that word, but I've got much softer as I found my wife was softer. So these days, I do all kinds of stuff. I mean, in the middle of the night when I get up to go downstairs and I raid the refrigerator, in the middle of the night, I get up and get my wife a glass of ice water. And she loves that.
Okay.
And I open doors and all of that kind of stuff. Now, because I just love the softness that she brings, and I feel more and more protective as she's more and more soft.
Nurturing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that could be seen by somebody looking on as chivalrous, but I don't feel chivalrous. I feel like I'm just happy.
You're responding.
Yeah, babe, is there anything else I can do for you? Is there anything I could do for you that'll put that smile on your face that we were talking about? That's not chivalry to me. So I'm, please, somebody take the floor from me. Stop me from running my mouth.
I like what you're saying, but actually you're acting in a state of grace. Mm-hmm. And there's this, any relationship is either spiraling upward or it's spiraling downward.
Mm.
And every little thing you do keeps turning that crank so that the relationship elevates to a higher level or it starts going down to a lower level. And merely opening a door or merely giving a little glass of ice water, that just keeps taking it to a higher level. So in a sense, it is chivalry, maybe not in the old medieval senses and all that stuff, but it's an act of kindness, an act of grace, versus just get it yourself or don't bother me or whatever. You know, all those kind of little things in any relationship will take it to a higher or lower level.
What you got, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm on. Jamaicans have two words, Irie and respect.
Mm.
And what you're doing is you're exercising respect and consideration,
mm-hmm.
and that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you love her,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
So you might want to call it chivalry, pulling out the chair, opening the car door, whatever. That's respect. That's consideration. And when she feels good, you feel good.
Yeah.
Right.
Irie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
However, if she was saying to me,
"You should,"
"I want you to pull out my chair," or, "How come you don't do what Nancy's husband does?" I would tell her to kiss my foot.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, I can't see her doing that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That wouldn't connect with me at all. That would be a turn off.
The fact that you are expected to do something that doesn't yet come to you naturally.
Yes.
In this situation, it does come to you naturally.
Yes.
And I think that, so what you're saying is it's a much more authentic act of grace than if, like, chivalry is sort of like programming. You're
yes.
You're set up to be
you're
the quote-unquote good boy.
Mm-hmm.
You get the door, you let her do things first or whatever. But when it is genuine and authentic, you feel that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you feel that.
But again, to the other side of the coin, this positive spiraling crescendo or a decrescendo, it also can go when you're doing this, if the partner doesn't appreciate it or actually, like you said, doesn't recognize it at all, number one, or number two, pretty much says, "Well, you should have done that," whatever. That's on the other partner's behalf a big mistake, because that will tarnish and diminish that act of kindness and grace. And so it takes two to tango. It always has. It always will.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Nancy, you mentioned it came naturally to Frank. It didn't or wouldn't have come naturally 20 years ago. It's something I think he grew into, because I know I did.
Okay.
If my wife has an extremely busy day or something, I'll pick up dinner on the way home. Or even if I'm going to buy her flowers.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I know she's going to appreciate it. That makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Right.
Or she'll call a friend or one of our kids and say, "Guess what Dad did? He mm-hmm. bought me dinner." That makes me feel good.
Yeah.
I'm also the superstar husband with the other wives. Bought her dinner.
No question.
That makes you feel good.
Exactly. He gets another year in the game.
But that's part of the chemistry of a relationship.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
you either grow into, learn how to adapt.
Sure.
And that's called respect.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay.
Queen, you got anything on that?
Definitely, chivalry is not dead. It's very much appreciated. And we have to realize that often, our brothers have been taught to treat a woman a certain way, or not taught. And so, it's not like it used to be, where chivalry was kind of expected or it was part of that first date or part of getting to the romantic side of someone. It's not as prevalent as you might think, and it should be. So we have to get back to that, because, I'm sure there are other ways that your wife shows you how much she appreciates that glass of water.
Yes.
Key.
Wow. Hey, all right.
I'm going to let it go, Queen. Oh my goodness.
Another concept I'm going to challenge very quickly as we wrap up is women are smarter than men. I hear men say this all the time. I don't really believe that.
Of course you don't.
I think, I mean, we both, you know, we both smart and stupid. But it's like.
Touché, Frank.
It's like we both, it's something men say.
Well, I think, you know what I think you're alluding to? I think you're alluding to the fact that we have our respective intelligences. So you all, guys, have your zone and we have ours. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't develop our intelligences. I can't strengthen the ways that, you know, the things that make you smart. Mostly because I can't figure out what they are. But, all right. Well, that was my first time ever sticking it to him. And I don't know how long we've been on this show. Yeah. Boy, that was good. I got to, like, calm myself down. So, no, but really, listen, I'll give you know what, perfect example. So we do this show, right? And so I do what I do for the show. Frank does what he does for the show. And there are definitely things, little aspects of the show that I feel he is masterful at. And I don't hold that like smarter or not smarter. I just feel that he brings a quality and gifts to the setting the show up and actually making it flow that just don't come naturally to me. And so I'm saying, hey, can you do this part? I'm happy to do this part. Can you do that part? And fortunately for us, it just blends and flows and goes. But I love being able to, your favorite word, defer to his genius. I do. I love to do that. So, you know, the whole women are smarter than men thing, I think it's more about there's a certain sensitivity that comes with femininity that I think is maybe where that's coming from. So there's a subtlety. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you operate in that space of subtlety, you can appear to be able to maneuver sort of under the cross current of life and get things done that other people are like, well, how'd she do that?
I agree woman.
We got to put it in a time perspective, too. I mean, let's go way back in caveman days, right? Guy dragged a gal by her hair into the cave and said, you're mine, okay? I mean, seriously. So
no date.
That woman had to be pretty doggone smart to be able to figure out how to maneuver her man. One of my best favorite examples is Augustus Caesar ran Rome and had the Roman baths. His wife, I want to know the story about her, because she somehow convinced him after Julius died and Augustus running Rome, Augustus Caesar's wife convinced him that maybe women should be able to use the Roman baths from like all morning, and then in the afternoon the men could use them. That was one heck of a smart woman, because Caesar was pretty much the king and god of the whole Roman civilization, and this woman figured out how to get what she wanted. But it's evolved. And now you look at millennials, like I was saying, and they're very much getting closer and closer to being equal partners, where I think the men are more sensitive. And you look at today's movie stars and how they portray characters today, they're not like the John Waynes of old, right? It's sort of evolving where there's more of a complete parody. But I would still say chivalry both ways, like you both folks said earlier, it sends that crescendo upward or downward. And so acts of kindness and grace, absolutely, and respect.
Nice.
Along today's journey, we've discussed badmatch.com pictures. Like Nancy, I want you to really think about that.
I'm on it, Frank. I'm telling you, airbrush, Photoshop, the whole deal.
Smiling women and dating versus romance. Thank you to my guest co-host, Queen Tahira. Her show is A Sign of the Time, and you can find it on the New Power Network. That's NU. Thank you to my co-host, Nancy. Thanks to Jeff Newman, my engineer. And thank you for hanging out with the Frank Relationships team. You've been great. I hope you've had as much fun as I had hanging out with Craig Wilson, the author of Dating for Life. As always, it's my wish for you to walk away from this conversation with a heaping helping of useful information that'll help you create a relationship that's as loving and accepting as possible. A big hearty thank you to you, Craig, and please let us know what you thought of today's show at Facebook.com/relationshipflove. On Twitter, that's Mr. M.R. Frank Love, or at franklove.com. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, please make sure you like us, and then via iTunes, make sure you subscribe so that you can receive each week's show. This is Frank Love.